Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And it's not about emulating someone else. It's really about being who you are.
What won the day for me was authenticity.
The greatest leadership lesson I've ever learned is that you're never totally authentic until you're totally authentic.
When we're willing to be authentic, it both liberates us and it touches and inspires the people around us. That's the power of authenticity. Thank you very much.
The notion of authentic is that you are being true or accurate. You are fairly and accurately representing who you are and how you feel. The problem is that the more one looks at the notion and the reality of authenticity, the more one realizes, or the more I realize, it's a crock and it's nonsense, and it is more likely to be self-destructive than value-added.
Oh, that's too bad. Hello and welcome to Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. And that last person you heard is Michael Schrage. He is a research fellow at MIT Sloan. And despite all the talk that we usually hear about how you need to be authentic and true to yourself, well, clearly he's not drinking the Kool-Aid.
I think the reality is we have all been advised to live in the moment. And that raises the question of which self? Because there is not a single person listening to this who has not, after hearing somebody say something, been seized with rage, been seized with anger, and have chosen to be discreet, have chosen not to respond. They've held their tongue. They've hesitated. And 90 seconds later, 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, they would figuratively get down on their knees and thank God they were discreet. They did not respond.
I don't know about you, but I have been in that sort of situation, and I have been so glad that I didn't say anything. And knowing this, well, that's why I wanted to talk to Schrage, because he wrote this article for the Harvard Business Review called When Authenticity Does More Harm Than Good. And it was so counterintuitive to what you hear nowadays from all the self-help business books to the profiles of successful CEOs that I wanted him to explain why he questioned this idea. And to start off, I asked him if he disagrees with the argument that to succeed at work, you need to be more authentic, more true to yourself.
I disagree vehemently. Your authenticity is my microaggression and vice versa. The reality is, at least the reality I experience is, it's a very thin line between self-indulgence and authenticity.
Because
how we feel in one moment, how we genuinely, and dare I use the word, authentically feel in one moment, may be because circumstances or our perceptions have changed, radically different less than 2 minutes later.
Is part of it that we don't really know who our true selves, authentic selves are? I mean, because what you're describing sounds a little bit like emotional responses to situations. You say something, you're just being honest to, or, you know, you're telling me what you think is true, and I react to thinking that's BS, I disagree, and that's an emotional response.
You're absolutely right. You can say it's honest in the moment, and if the moment passes, that's fine. But there's a reason why the Nobel laureate economist Daniel Kahneman wrote the book Thinking Fast and Slow. I might have, because of my knowledge base, a pattern match, an immediate recognition of something that upon deeper reflection is simply, even on a cognitive basis, it's going to be fundamentally different. So I think the issue of authenticity and the failure of authenticity to be a useful sensibility is as true for cognition as it is for emotion.
You write in this article in the Harvard Business Review, when you talked about this stop being authentic basically, that perhaps the opposite of authenticity isn't fakery, but civility and good manners.
Yes. I am coming to the belief that if we really want to listen to people, that perhaps we need to repress our desire to be authentic in favor of being respectful and, if you'll excuse the double-edged nature of the word, authentically listening to the other person instead of authentically conveying our thinking and our feeling and our situational awareness of the moment.
So why are we so obsessed with this notion of authenticity at work?
Well, I think it transcends work. I think you hear the discussion of authenticity in family relationships. I think you hear the discussion of authenticity in friend relationships. I, partly because it's the Harvard Business Review, I focused on work. But in a way, the issue is easier to discuss at work because ostensibly the reason why we're at work is that we want to be productive. We want to be more than the sum of ourselves as individuals. And so authenticity, is it a means? Is it an end? Is it sometimes a mean and sometimes an end? But at a workplace, it's legitimate to ask, okay, the behaviors that we choose, the way we choose to represent ourselves, does it enhance our ability to get the job done? Does it improve our productivity? Or does it undermine and get in the way? So in a perverse sort of way, the questions of authenticity are easier to discuss and debate in the workplace, inside the workplace, and when we're dealing with customers. Because I will say this, if you're a customer service person and you are authentically dealing with customers and you happen to be not the nicest person around, that's not going to end well.
Does it make your skin crawl when you hear people say, well, I was just being authentic at work. I was just being true to myself.
It now does. It used to be, and this is I'm really glad that you're asking the question in this way, because it used to be I had an enormous amount of sympathy and empathy for somebody who was trying to be authentic and genuine and perhaps vulnerable. And then as I began to track this, as I began to empirically observe the nature of the interactions and the outcomes of those interactions, I came to the very bitter conclusion that I'm just being authentic is, hey, I'm just being me. It's an excuse for being a lesser self than being a better self. Because if your authentic self is a lesser self, then you have indulged disrespect of the person or the situation that you're dealing with.
Do you think we glom onto this word to maybe excuse our behavior or basically it doesn't require us to change or to try something new or different that might be challenging and we might fail at because, hey, I'm a micromanager. That's just who I am. You know, I'm being authentic to who I am versus, you know what, why don't you try not to be? That may be something totally different for you. That may be a totally different way to interact with people.
How dare you say such a thing? How dare you disrespect what the person believes is the essence of who they are? I think that's the problem, a key problem, particularly in the workplace with people who wrap themselves in the mantle of authenticity.
Because this is the way that I do things, and how dare you question how I do
things?
Not
just how they do things, how they feel and who they are as they do. They're not doing these things by accident. This is who they are. You are not just attacking what I'm doing. You are attacking who I am, you jerk. That's an authentic response, by the way.
And what you're saying there is that gets in the way of the productivity within the office if you keep stumbling against, you know, people's feelings and
office, factory, etc. I mean, there are very many interesting views of what workplace, you know, alienation in the workplace, et cetera, is like. But I think it is in some ways healthier to use the workplace as an arena to have this conversation because, let's be blunt, the overwhelming majority of people go to work not for the purpose of finding themselves, not for the purpose of to thine own self be true, but presumably to do a good or excellent job with their colleagues and for their customers and clients.
Because I could hear people listening to this saying, well, of course he's arguing to not be true to yourself in the workplace because it's all about the company wanting people to be as productive as possible and to suppress their personalities and who they really are and just, you know, get those widgets out, make those news stories, stop having hurt feelings.
That is certainly an in extremis response. And the reason why it's a good response is that there's a lot of truth to it. I'm sorry to say that one of the ways we're going to end up in this is I think that the extreme of being true to yourself and authenticity – I mean, I literally have friends who wrote books on authenticity in business as the key to success. And it's painful to have to authentically advise my friends who have written such books that I think you have not just going down the wrong path, you're free-falling into the rocks. The other extreme is where this is why management and leadership is a craft, not a science. Where do we legitimately and credibly and, yes, authentically call for people to show their true selves versus when do you say, I understand where you're coming from. I think I understand who you are and what you're trying to be. That's not what we need right now. I need you to make another choice with your colleagues and for our clients. Not because you're a bad person, not because you're wrong, but this is the way organizationally and culturally we want people to align.
Can you give me some specifics of either experiences that you've had with this authenticity issue, or you just talked about from your observations of what happens in companies when people are authentic and it doesn't work, or CEOs who are authentic, some examples?
Oh my gosh. Well, I do mention in the post where I was authentically trying to help a client, a Fortune 25 company, on something that had gone very well, and the company had decided to make a customer event more of a sales event. And I authentically escalated and tried to make sure that they made this choice knowingly. And if somebody had said to me, Michael, we've made the choice, shut up, get on the bus or get off, I would have accommodated. But I was very insistent because I was trying to do authentically what I thought was in the best interest, not just of the clients, but of the company. And that's not what they wanted to do. And they said, thank you very much, politely. And then they didn't renew my contract very, very politely. And I was very authentic about that. The other example I offered is I was sent a presentation by a CEO who was looking to raise money. 90% of the presentation was excellent. There was 10% that was, to not to put too fine a point on it, idiotic to the point of offensive. And I am the kind of person who authentically would say, this is terrific, except this is idiotic to the point of offensive. Cut it out. Instead, because I knew people, I said, you should discuss this with so-and-so, but pay particular attention to this passage. And of course, when I got the next version, it was removed. By repressing my authentic reaction, I was significantly more effective and have a wonderful relationship with that executive. By not repressing, by being authentic, not in a jerk way, because believe me, I know when I can be a jerk on this, I lost a large contract, and it was a lose-lose-lose situation for everyone. So if I change, what does my authentic self mean? If you're in transition, if you're trying to become a better person, what does authenticity mean? Is the self you were 3 weeks ago more authentic than the self you aspire to next month? Once you begin to ask and seriously try to answer those questions, you realize that authenticity is a horrible, useless, misleading way of discussing the essence of people.
I feel like as I'm listening to you talk, I'm reminded of the challenges that I've had in being a manager and learning how to work with people, because I sometimes feel like I have to suppress certain parts of my personality. Like, I know the end result that I want to get to.
Yes.
And I know from previous ways that I've been managed that there are all sorts of different ways to do it. And it sometimes feels like, why do I have to suppress my personality and the way that I would approach a situation in order to get to this point? Like, why can't I just come right out and say, I want it this way, or I'm just gonna manage this particular way? And I do feel like there is a suppression of like who I am, but I do realize that when you get to the end of it, if you accomplish your goal, that's the thing that's the most important in that situation.
Do you feel you are compromising who you are by trying to persuade people as opposed to just telling them, this is the way we want it done, do it? No, do it. Do you feel you're compromising the essence of who you are?
I don't feel like I'm compromising, but I do. No, I don't think I'm compromising. It's a different way than I might instinctually do it. And that's challenging because it doesn't feel, you know, I probably, and my coworkers are probably looking at me right now thinking, yeah, you're pretty direct, Charlie. I'd like to think that I could be even more direct, and I'm trying to suppress that because it might be too blunt and too brusque, and that's not my intent. I don't know if this is making sense, but I sort of feel like I have
sense.
To suppress it somewhat to not be my authentic brusque, let's just do it and move on to the next sort of thing. But I'm not being true to myself.
But the question is at a certain point becomes, you know, somebody that you care for, somebody who you respect, says to you, you know, you're a terrific manager on these dimensions, but if you could communicate in a manner that fewer people felt and interpreted as brusque and more as respectful or clearer or more direct. I like your directness, but the brusqueness has affect that I don't like. Would you feel challenged, insulted? Do you want to change who you are? Because this is the tension in authenticity.
There'd be a little bit of a challenge there and a little bit of a difficulty to change because that's not how – in my case, how I might normally approach a situation. So there's an element of it's hard, it's challenging to change what would be your instinctual behavior. And I think this goes to this question of authenticity because my initial response might be like, well, hey, this is just who I am. I'm a brusque kind of guy versus, okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to challenge myself to maybe not be that kind of person.
And my pushback is going to be people who say – this is just who I am, are being complacent. They're being complacent. They're saying, that's it. This is who I am. They're ending a conversation and they're saying, I don't care to change. I don't want to change. Take it or leave it.
It's now, that's worked my before. I'm going to do it this
exactly. way. Exactly. That's my interpretation. And that's why there are workplace conflicts. That's why there are fights. That's why people leave jobs. My concern is that authenticity has devolved and decayed from a reason, from an insight, to an excuse,
what do you
to
mean,
a rationalization.
Insight?
And this is who I am. This is the,
an awareness of who I am.
That's what I meant. An awareness of who I really am to a rationalization and an excuse.
A rationalization for behaving poorly or for treating people poorly or whatever it might be.
Let's be very serious here. I'm going to use your word. Is somebody who behaves brusquely behaving poorly? It's a wonderful word because you can make a case either way.
I wouldn't say poorly, but I would say it can be off-putting and it can be not team-building and it can be not motivating. And so
– and I'm going to turn that around.
And that's why I've sort of come to realize – that may be your natural instinct, but you need to repress that a little bit because that's how you may authentically respond to it, but you need to think of other ways to try and get to where you need to go. You're shaking your head.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing the right thing, but
yeah,
I feel like
yeah,
you're looking at me
yeah.
saying no.
I'm trying to be brusque in my response to you. I don't think it's a natural instinct. I think it feels natural because you've behaved. It's a habit. You know,
That's an interesting element. Is it habit or authentic?
Exactly. People in the news business, you know, when I was a newspaper reporter, I would be on the phone back in the days when there were touch-tone and rotary dial phones.
I remember those.
And yeah, and they said, well, is Mr. Smith – no, can he get back to you tomorrow? No, I'm on deadline today. Tomorrow is too late. You have to be – when you're on deadline, you have to be impatient. To a certain extent, my impatience, my natural impatience was reinforced by my professional circumstances.
So can I blame it on my job?
Yes.
Why do you think this word authentic has suddenly become such a touchstone? Like we talk about it a lot now. Why now?
Because people have conflated authenticity with truthfulness, that if they're not being authentic, they're lying. But the reality is – as Whitman said, we are vast and contain multitudes. And sometimes after a moment's thought, a minute's delay, a friend's reaction, a colleague's response, we change our minds. Not in a little way, in a big way. And it would be wonderful if these quantified self movements would track not just the number of steps we take or the words we utter, but how frequently our minds and mood change over the span even of a single business meeting.
I don't mean to necessarily veer into politics because we're talking here about business.
Oh, sure. Let's veer into politics.
But as you're talking about authenticity and truth, I feel like that's something that is very much at the heart of the popularity of Donald Trump right now, running for president. Some of the other comments that you hear from voters, well, I really like this person because they feel authentic. I feel
right.
like I know them.
Right. The media have done a wonderful job of improving the currency of very bad words like authenticity. I recall, I know this is a name skewing way too old for the majority of your listeners, but George Burns was famous for saying the key to success in acting is sincerity, because if you can fake that, you've got it made. You know, yes, people crave authenticity, but why in particular do they crave it in politics? My economics background would suggest that the reason why authenticity appears to matter more in politics is that the supply of non-manipulative politicians seems to be remarkably low. So it is the contrast. It is the appearance or the illusion of authenticity that has such great appeal, because the expectation is that the market of politicians is filled with people who say what you want, what they think you want to hear.
So where do we end up if authentic becomes the way that if that's the trend that we're going to right now?
We end up with people who are self-indulgent. We end up with people for whom self-improvement and self-criticism are secondary concerns with being who they think and feel they are in the moment at any given time. I think that's why I am offering this screed, some listeners might say rant, against authenticity as an organizing principle for improving the quality of one's life or one's working life.
And you would argue that we should instead?
Whenever you hear the word authentic, be distrustful and cynical and skeptical, not, oh, wow, not encouraging and supportive.
And we should instead be?
The word I would use would be respectful. Respectful, a balanced respect between the people that you're with and in the workplace, the goal or outcome you are seeking to achieve.
Michael, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Authentically.
Michael Schrage is a research fellow at the MIT Sloan School, where he focuses on how people use technology to transform their productivity and their quality of life. So where do you stand on this question of authenticity? What does it mean to you, and is it important? Share your thoughts with us. Send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. This podcast is a production of WNYC Studios. Thanks to Julia Longoria, Wayne Schulmeister, and special thanks to Amy Poftek at the Harvard Business Review. For Money Talking, I'm Charlie Herman. Thanks for listening.